The planning conversation starts here on the Income Protection Podcast. Here's your host, Mike Cogdall and Grayson Owen.
All right, Mike, we're back following a trip to 30A. We're back on the podcast here. And how's everything going with you?
It's great. And Grayson, first, thanks for making the trip over. I think we got a lot done towards the academy and just generally you teaching me how to do a little bit more social media. It's pretty cool. March Madness, had to watch the game last night. Interesting game. I had to take Florida because I do live in Florida because my finals, obviously, like a lot of people, my final was Auburn and Duke. So shows that I can't pick a winner all the time. But it was an interesting game to watch. I don't know what your thoughts were. But in the last minute, mistakes, they're kids, NIL money, portals, everything. They're still kids. There were mistakes made that didn't need to be made. What do you think?
Well, you know, congrats to the Gators. I think that they certainly earned it. This year's March Madness was very unique from my standpoint. I'm no sports expert or anything, but I do usually dial in for March Madness. I do like college basketball. But to see four number ones in the Final Four was unique. There really weren't too many upsets across the board that I can remember. And of course, I called Duke going all the way. But yeah, you know, every move, every play counts. And if we rewind back to the beginning of the tournament, similar to the DI business and how disabilities work, we didn't have a crystal ball on how this would turn out. And so here we are today. Congrats to the Florida Gators. They're number one. So, Mike, what are we diving into first on the podcast today? What are your thoughts out there?
Let's continue down current events. Global economic meltdown last Friday. What do you think? And well, it continues right through up into this week.
Yeah, I mean, I'm no economist here. I don't have too much to comment on. I think everyone's kind of feeling the uncertainty, and we'll have to see how things play out.
You know, I don't know a ton about the word tariff. As a matter of fact, I'm so silly. I thought they were saying taffy, something to eat. So I don't really pay attention to some of those things. It's just like, I get it. I think even the pundits and all of the news people have to continually talk about this. And what I find interesting is it goes back to us and you and I specifically talking about income protection and where we go from here. You just used a cognism there with, I don't have the crystal ball. And if you do, please give it to me. That rings true every day. The funny thing is the only thing we're speaking about right now is the stock market and tariffs, trade wars, and how much I get it affects people's lives. But it's like we talked about on our last podcast. You wake up every day with 1,000 things going through your brain. And then suddenly if you have a pain, an injury, and anything, it's the only thing you think about. If it's not that big a deal, ultimately, because people, they're writing on social media that, you know, I'm in it for the long haul. You know, you get somebody on CBS, their little analyst that does financial planning says, stay in it for the long haul. Don't sweat it. Don't worry about it. But it's all we talk about. Think about that in terms of what you and I do daily. And all you and I do daily is talk about income protection, disability insurance. Again, this becomes the great what if. My point is you just don't know at any point in time with anything vis-a-vis your life, your health, your family, your situation. My point is, once again, it can change on a dime. I'm sure everything will recover. I'm sure everything will do fine. And I'm going to do a shout out for life insurance for a moment here, even though we are podcast is primarily about disability income and income protection is, you know, my kids have whole life policies and you know that. And they have Mass Mutual. I don't mind saying who I have. Mass Mutual whole life. I bought little kid policies, whole life, fund them pretty well. And you know what? And they also have Roth IRAs. I have one for each. But I woke up this morning not having to worry one bit about the cash value in that life insurance. So sometimes when I talk about is your risk protection package current and up to date, it's really good to think, and I want your opinion, it's good to think about all of the risk, all the protection. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think, you know, to relate this to the work that we do and that, you know, we help brokers and advisors do out there, I think it's easy to get stuck in the weeds and all the complexities of everything going on. And it's not only about what's happening in the market today, but also when brokers and advisors are educating clients on DI solutions, you know, a lot of clients can get stuck if they get an exclusion in underwriting or if they are so focused on every detail in the proposal, is that preventing them from acting? Or as a broker even not educating clients on this, on a disability solution, because they don't understand it. But we can't get stuck on these details in the day to day. And with what's going on today, I think from my perspective, it's one of those things, getting stuck in what's happening in current events doesn't do any good for anybody. And so we just have to power through this, keep our head down, go to work. It is what it is. You have very little that you can control. That's at least my perspective.
Right. But there's little things we can do day to day to make sure that what we really care about in life is our day to day living. And that's, you know, whether it's just you or your family or however you live is, you know, think about what matters. And going back to what you just said is, you know, you can only do so much with the details. And I'd like you to elaborate a little bit more on that comment about details and what, like, underwriting a little bit specifically in the world of disability income protection is like and about, and what you can and can't do, and the control mechanisms or lack thereof that you can put into it to make it work.
Yeah. So when it comes to underwriting, Mike, what I found not only with clients out there, but with brokers and advisors is that they have a fear or lack of understanding sometimes on how disability underwriting works. And that can be something that prevents them from bringing this up with clients. They don't want something to go wrong or what have you. And it's really just a lack of process is really what I end up finding. So when we spend some time and talk about how underwriting works in the disability world, I think that can help alleviate a lot of the uncertainty that brokers and advisors might feel. And ultimately, they can translate that to their clients as well, so they're more comforted in the process if a client decides to apply for coverage. And Mike, so the first thing I'd like to outline here is kind of the underwriting outcomes that we see out there. So we know that if a client applies and they get approved as applied, that's the best case scenario, right? There's no medical modifications or anything like that. We also know on the other side of the spectrum is a decline or a postpone. So that means that after review of their medical risk and other components of their underwriting file and application, a carrier might say, hey, we're not interested in this risk. We're either going to decline, or maybe there's something that needs to get cleared up over a certain period of time, and they postpone what their decision would be. So those are kind of the two sides of the spectrum, either approved as applied or a decline or a postpone. But in between, there are what we call exclusions and ratings. And what ends up happening with an exclusion, I'll use myself as an example. Mike, I don't know if you know this, but I have an old injury from when I was an athlete for a short time early in high school. At some point in college, I ended up having to get my elbow scoped in 2009. And so if I were to enter into underwriting today, it's possible that a carrier could say, hey, if you're still having issues with that elbow, which I'm not, thankfully, but if I was, they might say, hey, this is something that has not resolved itself. Maybe you're still getting some type of treatment. We're going to exclude that body part. So if a disability occurs or some type of claim occurs because of that elbow, we're not going to cover it. But Mike, the good news is that everything else in that underwriting file, if that's your only exclusion, everything else in the medical dictionary that could cause a long-term disability would still be covered under the policy. So brokers need to understand, and their clients absolutely need to understand, that if there's an exclusion, it's not necessarily the end of the world. It just means that the carriers are aware of a known risk, and they can't insure all known risks or they'd be out of business.
Do you know a great way to visualize this for a client?
How's that?
Tell your client, if you're talking to them on a Zoom call or if you're actually with the client, depends on where you are, think about a salt shaker. Full of salt.
Yep.
Good old regular Morton salt, the tiny little grains. Take that salt shaker, tip it upside down. Put one grain off to the side. One, if you can. Leave the rest of the salt in the completely full salt shaker. And say, this right here, this one little grain is what's not covered. Do you sure you want to give that up for the whole rest of the salt shaker that's got thousands and thousands and thousands of grains of salt in it? That makes sense to people. And that's absolutely the things that we want to do, and allow you as a broker out there to talk to people. I know it's cheesy, but we have to talk. People speak. And somebody can visualize that. You just did. One tiny grain of salt that you can't see on a table versus the entire salt shaker. Which do you want to have happen? Not the one grain covered, but still have the entire body covered, or just throw it all away? Just have nothing.
I love that. I think that is a great way to explain the concept and provide a visual. So appreciate that, Mike. makes total sense. So if you're a broker listening out there, feel free to borrow that one. I think that's the easiest way to explain it to a client. So well done on that, Mike.
Let's continue down the path, my friend. Let's continue down the path of what's next, the part I don't like.
The next ones, and Mike, I'd love your commentary on this next one, which is ratings. So ratings are another component of a potential underwriting decision if there is a pre-existing condition that warrants some type of rating. I'll use myself again for an example. I actually have obstructive sleep apnea. And so because I have this chronic condition, some carriers will actually outright decline me. Some will say, hey, it's all well controlled. You have no other health issues. We're going to do a standard rating. But then there's also some carriers that will say, hey, we're going to do an upcharge of 25 or 50% of a premium rating because you have this chronic sleep apnea condition. And that's just where some carriers land. Every chronic condition is different, so their ratings might be different. But in that circumstance, if you do have a client that gets a rating, it's usually due to some type of chronic condition or a number of exclusions that worry the underwriter. So they do ask for an additional premium over and above the standard premium that would be normally quoted. Mike, what's your commentary here on ratings, and what's the best way for brokers to explain that to their clients?
Let me put this in a different way. I think ratings could be negotiated on occasion because every single carrier has a book, and a book is based on actuarial science, more or less, right? Even the OCC classes, I think there's some guessing going on every now and then. A rating also is a best guess because I've always reminded every underwriter I've ever met, any carrier I've ever been with, that the rating doesn't change the potential for a claim. Because if you've got a pre-existing condition, you have it. So if you have a 50% rating, that doesn't still change the risk. My point is if you got a heart condition and they put a 50% rating on, because it's kind of hard to exclude the heart, right? I mean, it really gets a little hard. So we put a 50% rating on for the heart, and I got disabled 1 month later for the heart. And it was hard, but it was covered. It was just, I paid 50% more. So I paid $150 instead of $100. Company didn't win. There is no win to this, by the way. That's just a long-term claim, period. I've always found since the beginning of my career that a lot of times you need to talk to an underwriter, and this is why it's imperative that you establish relationships with underwriters at the carriers if you can. And sometimes a general agent can help you with that as well, just depending on where you put your business. And my point is, I've oftentimes been able to say it's a 50, but what about 25? And I've had more success than not. When they stand firm at 50, they're not even comfortable with this particular risk, or 75 at the moment. If they're at 100, they're really not comfortable. They're almost doing you a favor. Mm. But every now and then when it's marginal and, you know, it's just barely into the 50 versus the 25, oftentimes an underwriter that knows you will give you the 25 because they understand the same thing. It doesn't stop the risk. It's just an added premium. Or you to go back to a client and say, this was 50, but this is what I do for a living and I'm pretty good at what I do. It's okay to take a little credit on occasion. I got this down to a 25. So you can even soften that. And then you can say, you got the 25, but it should have been 50, according to the underwriter. But we got her to 25. Now the client's like, well, that's way better than 50. And you've got the client thinking about the right thing instead of losing track of what's important. Owning income protection.
Right.
They're going to just focus on a 50% rating and how they just got screwed, for lack of a better term. And that's not the direction you want to go with a client. Your thoughts?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Great points there, Mike. And you brought up another thing that I'll expand on here shortly, which is relationships with underwriters are key. And whether you have that directly as a broker or through a BGA that you work with, it's a very important thing to have those relationships. All the underwriters that I know throughout the DI industry are more than fair. And the carriers want to underwrite the cases if they can, right? If it's in their scope of risk tolerance for whatever risk profile they're looking at with your clients' applications out there. So the last thing I'll just say here is that when there are lots of exclusions and certain types of ratings, that's where the final type of decision might be made, which is also a product modification. So sometimes if their risk is not up to par for the carrier, they might say, hey, we're reducing the monthly benefit, or we're requiring a shorter benefit period duration. I really don't like to see cases go down that road, but usually that's the carrier's kind of last ditch effort to say, hey, we're giving you something here. we want the client to have something, but we don't feel comfortable with the full risk. And when you have a relationship with an underwriter, Mike, you and I both know that's the best time for your wholesaler or you yourself, if you have a relationship with the underwriters, to go get that context. Why was this decision made? Where was it coming from? So that way, when you do deliver the news to the client, you're prepared to provide a lot of those details so they can fully understand where the decision was made. But Mike, there's one thing that I wanted to bring up, and that is something that you do before the case goes to application. And we call that the underwriting pre-screen. This is the most important thing in the new business process, in my opinion, because it does two things. It prepares the client and sets expectations, and then it saves everybody time as well, right? So before the client fills out an application and signs on the dotted line, they have a good idea. As long as they provided you with correct information up front, you can pre-screen that anonymously with the carriers. They have a good idea of where they're likely to land in underwriting. So a lot less surprises and expectations are set. And then also that saves everyone time. You as the broker, the BGAs, the carrier, and the clients, most importantly, it saves everyone time because there's going to be less surprises. They're not going to find out, you know, at underwriting decision time for a formal application that, hey, there's going to be a rating for sleep apnea and an elbow exclusion. And then they're going to be scared from that deal and say, why is this excluded? I've never heard of this before. So preparing the client on the front end with the underwriting pre-screen is how very successful producers win more cases. Mike, what are your thoughts?
Exactly. But keep in mind that you only really need to pre-screen because we don't want to inundate any home office in the world with every single case as a pre-screen. It's only when there's a red flag. And those are things that you and I do. We teach you what a red flag looks like. If somebody says, you know, I see, you know, a mental health person three times a week, but it's no big deal. Red flag. We know this. You and I know this. So there's certain things that you have to just be aware of. Somebody says, I had orthoscopic surgery on my knee 10 years ago and I'm fine. You won't need to pre-screen that. These are things that you and I know. A lot of our counterparts out there, general agents, been doing this for years, know that. This is where we can help you. If somebody says, I'm all good, I'm 100% good, I just ran a 10K in 43 minutes or whatever, there's absolutely nothing wrong with me, that's probably going to go in and fly unless they've just decided not to tell you things. And there's nothing, and that's my other point, there's nothing you can do about it. If a client chooses not to tell you, and it's not because they're being dishonest, sometimes there's embarrassment. It can be. So it's not like you have to walk a thin line. I've made it really easy in the years that I've done this is just say, overall, this isn't the hardest stuff to get in the world. But if you've got pre-existing conditions like a big dent in your car, you can't really, you know, get the dent fixed if you don't have insurance, right? You just can't. It's a little late. The next dent, maybe if you buy insurance, but not this dent. If there's something with you that's an underlying problem, and most of the time, and I think you would agree, you do way more of this than I do, a client will come back to you and say, like what? And you can throw a couple things out there. I don't know. You can say, you know what, chronic fatigue syndrome, carpal tunnel syndrome. You just throw a couple things out there. Anything that you're seeing somebody more on a routine basis for than not, we should look at. If you're not, we're good. Because a lot of people say, well, I go to a chiropractor, but just for adjustments. How do you deal with that one, Grayson? That's another example. What we're giving you real world examples today. I go to a chiropractor for just adjustments. It's no big deal.
There will likely be some type of exclusion if it's on an ongoing basis. The goal would be to isolate that to whatever area of the back's being treated.
Correct. I mean, because they also have to have if you want insurance to try to pay for it, what happens? There has to be a code.
Correct.
And the code means that there's something wrong, right? To make this simple.
A procedure occurring or a diagnosis.
Correct. And I'm not sure, but when I was still working corporately, we were at about 74, 75% issue standard, something like that. That's 3 out of 4. That's pretty good. So you're talking 1 out of 4 most of the time. And of course, you've got a percentage of that that's a flat, as you alluded to earlier, just a no or a postpone. And you know those right away. As a matter of fact, oftentimes a client will tell you things and you, with experience, can almost say, and you don't have to do this, but you can just check with an underwriter. You can on the phone and say, I'll let you know, but this one could be hard. And if you tell somebody this could be really hard, the only news you get to give them is what you already did. It could be really hard. We probably won't get this. Or you know what? They're willing to take a look at you. And then once again, you've softened everything and created the expectation that it may be possible to get coverage, because what you can't get away from is the importance of the coverage itself, regardless if it's a 2-year 5-year, 10-year, 2A, it doesn't matter what it is and the benefit amount. And you and I have said this more than once. At time of claim, something is better than zero.
That's right. And I think back to the other point I've heard mentors of mine at my firm, if there's an exclusion, that shouldn't stop a client from moving forward. There are a million other things in the medical dictionary that can cause a long-term disability. So preparing the client on the front end, setting expectations is how you work through that. And clients don't like surprises. And so we don't have to surprise them in this process.
And you and I would agree that almost all the time, there really is no big surprise. It only happens once in a blue moon. So this is not the normal everyday run-of-the-mill underwriting. With the way underwriting goes today with first tele-apps, so you can't actually gather all the information because the home office does, which takes you out of that picture, which is awesome. And you need to remember this. You're kind of out of the picture. Once you've done the conversation we've had and you hand it off to a home office, regardless of where it is, other people take it from there. In essence, don't think your job is done, but it sort of is. And I always tell people, if you want complete control, give up all control. There's not a lot you can do. You're not the underwriter, right? You're not looking at the tax return. You're not doing the financials. You just now need to like be patient, wait and see what they come back with. And then you can have a conversation. That's why it is having a relationship with underwriting if you can over time. And the more business you write, the more apt you are to have relationships with underwriters and the more you'll get to know them because they know who you are. They trust what you're saying. And that will go a long way in your career of writing income protection if people know and trust what you're saying. And that's what you want to do.
Yeah, no question about that. All right, Mike, I think that's enough for today. We've covered a lot in underwriting and current events. And so we'll leave it there for the day. Any final thoughts?
Only final thought is do not let an exclusion or a rating stop you from keeping the client focused on what's most important.
Excellent. Final thought there, Mike. Appreciate it, man. Look forward to seeing you next time.
I'm looking forward to it, my friend. Enjoy the rest of the week.
And remember, financial planning starts with a risk protection package first.
And your clients are counting on you. See you on the show next time.
All right, my friend. Be well.